WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on Wild Talk Radio, WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WGLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click. That's echo from Tim. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. Support channel for free. You can use credit code Rocksock in the Fortnite. So when you buy Stone Cold Steve Austin and Liv Morgan, Cody Rhodes, and The Undertaker, among others, right now, because hashtag epic partner. Did that feel like WrestleMania now? I just couldn't believe, Brent. In the last 90 minutes, there's 4 minutes of ads.
They must have gotten paid corporate sponsorship for those 90 minutes.
They must have. Anyway. I'm the producer. That's the intern.
We are wise asses after last night, let me tell you. Can't help it.
I just read a comment on the interwebs. Someone was disappointed that the main event wasn't overbooked.
The main event wasn't what?
Overbooked.
I will admit, like, it lingered on that end credit, and I was like, is something going to happen? We're kind of conditioned for this. But it faded, and I was like, you know what? I'm cool with it. But,
wasn't overbooked.
No, it wasn't. It was a certainly good fucking match.
It sure was. And we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
That would be me. I'm here for the review. Show for WrestleMania 2-night event.
Your internet might not this weekend. Your internet might not be, but you're here, so that's good. Let's try that.
Is my internet not working?
Let's try that again with an intro from you.
Are things working?
There we go.
You were fading out there for a bit.
Yeah.
Well, that's very weird. There we go. Hey, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It's the WrestleMania review show. That's what we're going to be doing in a bit of a nutshell. You guys had a lot of sarcastic fun last night after night one.
I've had sarcastic fun for the last 24 hours. Makes friends on the internet, yeah. In case you're wondering. It makes a lot of friends.
Rock made friends. I usually do that, but I think that's only with AEW. I think I only make friends with that company.
I think so, and Tim is trying stuff with his sound, as it seems. Anyway, we're here to talk about two nights of WrestleMania. I heard it. Anyway, we're here to talk about two nights of WrestleMania. We're going to get Tim's thoughts on what happened on night one, because he didn't get a chance to speak on it like we did last night on the rack. So, Tim, what was the biggest standout for you last night?
I'm trying to think of what was the biggest standout for me last night. I missed the first match because I thought it started an hour later, but I was also working, so there is that. What did stand out for me? The second match was really good. I can't say anything actually like jumped out and slapped me in the face.
All right, let's talk about the Cody Rhodes-Randy Orton match. What was your take?
My initial reaction was that it just wasn't a really good main event. I've had 24 hours to digest it and found out a few things about Randy that I hadn't known, you know, like going into the night.
Which, like what? Like what?
Okay, now it softened up my thinking about that. He's not at 100%.
That was very clear. Yeah.
And at first, like without knowing that, watching, I'm thinking he's doing all of this selling of pain and stuff like that, which telegraphed the outcome of the match to me. It started off slow and hard to get into, but then it picked up. It started picking up.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Keep going.
I was just going to say there's an absolute huge contrast in the two nights.
There was a huge contrast in two nights.
And if they had switched a couple of the matches, like some night one matches and night two matches, and swapped them out, it would have felt more even. Last night now feels like it was just a buildup to tonight.
What would you have switched?
That's the tough part. I'm not sure. Wouldn't have mind seeing the ladder match last night instead of tonight, but what would you take out of last night and put into tonight in its place?
You're the one who thinks something had a switch, so what would you have changed then?
I'm just trying to think of what could have been put into night two from night one to replace the ladder match. And like I'm saying, I'm not sure.
And also remember the fact of it was on ESPN. So the ladder match being on primetime cable television is a big draw.
It was a big deal. Yeah. So switching matches beside that point, there were a lot of big WrestleMania moments last night, Tim. We saw Paige return for the first time since 2017 to WWE.
Yeah, when I saw her coming out, I'm like, well, there goes my match prediction.
Happy to see her back?
Guardedly, yes.
Why guardedly?
Because how long is she back for? She's back, but for how long? Is WWE going to use her? You know, like all of these different factors. Guardedly optimistic about her return, especially at this point in her career, working her ass off to be able to get back into the ring after the injuries that she had and having to prematurely retire. Also, I'm just going to go with the assumption that her maturity level this time out will be a little bit higher than it was when she debuted at, what, 18, 19?
18.
So it's a case of, like, we'll see what happens down the road, but as of right now, I'm not sad to see her.
And no, last night also saw the crowning of a WWE Women's World Champion, and Liv Morgan and Brent had some opinions. Are you okay with that decision?
Oh, you're still asking me.
Yeah, we're catching up on night one. I talked a lot about it last night.
Here you go. Okay. I saw it coming. I'm kind of disappointed that she got the title, but that being said, that's just from a fan perspective. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with the title change.
That's good to know.
From a fan perspective, I'm a big Vecare fan, so
that is true. We also saw Gunther and Seth Rollins have the, I guess, the best wrestling quote unquote match of the night last night?
I would say up to a point. Or a spear, but it was a very good intense match between the two of them. They delivered. I've just got the replay on the TV. You might be able to hear it in the background. I don't know. Should turn that off.
So,
for people, being a Gunther supporter, of course, I enjoy his matches overall. And putting him up against Seth, it's like, yes, finally two people in their prime. As opposed to Gunther being the career killer.
Okay, so for people catching up from last night, LA Knight and The Vision won in a 6-man tag team match against Isho Speed and The Vision. Isho Speed got turned on by Logan Paul after some mistakes in the match. Isho Speed had a hell of a splash off the top rope, putting Logan Paul through a table.
Your viral moment of the night, watching that thing over and over again, Jesus.
One of the viral moments of the night, for sure. Jacob Fatu came out on top in the unsanctioned match. The Bellas, well, one Bella and a Paige became the new women's tag team champions. Becky Lynch won back her Intercontinental Championship. As mentioned, Gunther took care of Seth Rollins. Morgan is your new women's world champion. And Cody Rhodes is still your undisputed WWE champion. Even though he came out of the night, Brent, with a gnarly black eye. Closed eye. Oh,
not just a black eye. Yeah, they're talking about orbital fracture and stuff like that. And that apparently that eye is swollen shut still. That's not good. That's going to be your storyline heading to Backlash of if he is able to compete and what that's going to do with, you know, Randy and possibly, you know, like, if he can't defend, what's going to happen?
That will be a big question leading maybe into tomorrow night on Raw or even on SmackDown where he is a part of it.
Having actually suffered an orbital fracture myself, I can understand and empathize exactly with what he is going through. When he finally has a chance to open up that eye, he's probably going to be seeing double for a while and keep it closed on his own.
I wonder, Brent, does he have a mask anywhere that he could, you know, probably break out to kind of, you know.
I don't know. Is he dashing enough for it?
He might be. Might be. So we'll have to see what that brings. But night two saw a lot of great action that started off with a big fight feel. Femi Brock Lesnar.
Get bad case she's not here right now.
Not just that. So we talked about the fact that this match was going to be on ESPN.
Yes.
This was going to be Obafemi's coming out party, possibly, or a showcase for Brock Lesnar. Welcome to the world, Obafemi. Holy shit.
Damn.
If you did not know who Obafemi was, you know that this guy looks like $1 million after tonight.
He's a star.
From the second the music hit and you heard that ovation and you saw the people doing the strut, you were like, this is big. Like, wow, he's arrived for Mania.
I mean, they're chanting his name on the post show right now.
He's just chilling there. But the one thing I think really helped when he's coming to the ring, Michael Cole is reading off his accolades of, you know, NCAA champion indoor and outdoor track at the University of Alabama. The first ever WWE NIL champion. The first person of that group to become a champion. And they're just talking it up. And I was hoping they would do that on ESPN because it pulls in the sports fan to realize this is a college athlete that they've turned into a professional wrestler. And then Brock walks out and you can say, you know, not only the former UFC world heavyweight champion, but NCAA champion, amateur wrestler. You know, he tried out for the Minnesota Vikings. He's Brock fucking Lesnar built like a brick shithouse. And then they put up the tail of the tape between the two and you realize there's really not much difference between them. Oba has more weight. Brock has a bigger chest. That was it.
He just called out the by the end of the year, he wants the tribal chief. He's already called his shot.
After watching this shit, I want to see it too. I want to see if Obafemi handles Roman Reigns. And if he does, imagine what that does even more for the mystique. Because Roman's big thing is handling people. When he was the tribal chief, it was about that presence and, you know, owning the pace of a match and all of that. He gets in a ring with Oba Femi. Oba's gonna fucking wreck him from what we've seen. And honestly, if that is his first title win, taking the belt off of Roman, yeah, that's a pretty big feather in his cap.
Yeah, and I like that he didn't say net right away. He laid out his game plan. Ascension to the main event. Perfect.
And the best part was, is they allowed Brock to have some moments in this match. It was just enough. Just enough, yeah. Brock. And it's what we talked about going into this, of like, we wanted Oba to look powerful, but we wanted, you know, it didn't have to be full domination, but it's like, when Oba hit his moves, and I thought it was great that first salvo when it's like, Brock runs into him, and Brock bounced off, and you saw the look on his face of, wait, what the hell? And so he tried it again, and he bounced off, and it's just like, that's not how this is supposed to go. And he got taken over the top rope, and Heyman sold that moment great. Of kind of like, what am I watching? And Brock having to regroup in that moment of just like, well, what do I do now?
And Brock only never kicking out of the finish made the finish.
Yeah.
Because he could be the fact that
Oba hit the one.
Yes.
Because we've seen, you know, spear, Superman punch, spear, kickouts after everything. And then F5, kickout, F5. And I know that some people are like, it's what makes a match exciting. But it's also like, that's what kind of devalues certain moves. The fact that Oba hit the what's it called?
Oh, what is it called?
His power bomb. Oh,
fall from grace.
He hit the fall from, like, he picked Brock up for that and laid him down, and Brock just sold it like a champ of not even moving.
Yep, and he laid.
You see that? Go ahead. I was gonna say, you see that moment where like they look at the ref or they're watching. Brock's eyes were shut. He was just like, nope, I'm taking a nap for a minute.
He lay there for a good 3 minutes.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. The announcers made reference to the fact of after that was hit and they did the three count, Brock was staying down, which was a clue for what happened a few minutes later.
It was a clue. And to answer the man's, doesn't mean the actual end of the year, but it just kind of makes it someone else will be the first contender for Roman. Oba's not first, but he'll get his. Again, SummerSlam's a good spot at this point for Oba. But yeah, the big story coming out of this match, besides the dominating win by Oba Femi putting him on the map, we gotta talk about how Brock Lesnar, on his way out of the business, made Oba Femi, and two, is on his way out. He took off his gloves, his boots, left them in the ring.
Well, it was the most emotional we've ever seen Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, caught everyone off guard.
That was rather shocking.
And the other part of it was Paul Heyman's emotions about it. Like, it's one thing if Brock Lesnar's taking his stuff off. The fact that you had Paul Heyman sitting there and you saw that emotion on his face, it was like, oh, this is really happening, isn't it?
That actually gave me the impression that Heyman didn't know that was coming.
Apparently, for a lot of people, they didn't know it was coming either. They didn't expect it. I wouldn't be surprised, especially with the way that Brock is, if maybe only Hunter knew. And you know, Hunter's probably sitting at the table, and he's probably telling the producer, all right, stick on him, just let it ride. And they're going, what's going on? Just let it ride.
I don't think Brock comes back. I think we don't get Gunther Brock, and that's okay.
It honestly, with the way they sold it tonight, and with it being ESPN Sports Center or ESPN WrestleMania, the fact that you have people sending tributes on the on social media, like Kurt, like others, this needs to be it. Don't do the thing with Taker where he took his gloves off early and then we got another two matches out of it. No, this should be it. Let Brock go.
And that's a question for another day, because they'll figure that one out. But you got to look at what Brock Lesnar did in the last 2 months. He came back, worked television every week, and made a guy.
Oh, he helped make... Oh, he put Oba into the stratosphere. As much as we want to talk about Brock Lesnar going into business for himself at times, or that, you know, maybe he didn't do a lot, when Brock wanted to sell and make someone look good, he did a good job. Think of the matches where he fought AJ, Daniel Bryan, and Oba Femi now. when he wanted to put someone over, he did good. And now, legitimately, Obafemi is the next big thing.
Yeah.
People are going to want to see him. That music's going to hit like Brock's, you know, guitar riff. And everyone will stop and turn toward the entranceway to see what happens.
Don't you mean Romans?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Anyway. I'm not sub, so.
Oba is going to be the guy. He's going to show up, conquer, destroy somebody, get out. You let him run through people. Low card, mid card, main eventers. You let him run. You got a bunch. Make him. Because that's what Brock did. He started on the low end. He started wrestling tag guys like the Hardys. He moved up the ladder, beat up a legend in Hulk Hogan, then sent The Rock home to Hollywood. It's a formula that works.
Along the way, he like AJ, beat up John Cena, sent a couple people to Suplex City, you know.
Yeah. So, it's easy work. They just
imagine having that on your resume, the guy that retired Brock.
That's exactly why. It needs to stay that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I wouldn't make that his defining idea on television. You can bring it up in the history books, but it doesn't need to be what they're doing with Gunther. Brock retired after the match, but that's it. He beat Brock. He's the last person to beat Brock Lesnar. But you don't have to hit that point every week.
Lindsay talked about it while we watched the show, and honestly, if you wanted to for SummerSlam, I wouldn't mind Oba versus Gunther. If Gunther tried to call in that favor of being like, I wanted to retire Brock, and you just have Oba walk up and went, nope, I did it. And you have just the fact that Gunther's pissed he didn't get to do it. Now you have two big guys beating the shit out of each other again.
Yeah, that's the career of Brock Lesnar and the rise and honestly, of Obafemi.
And honestly, I like the fact that they subverted the expectation that it was going to be Brock at SummerSlam, because it makes the moment tonight even that much more special, because you didn't see it coming. You thought, oh, we still have three and a half months of Brock Lesnar, whatever. They're going to build towards that match. Then he's going to retire. But again, heading into that match, you would have had the expectation, well, Brock's going out on his back because he's leaving. So we know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The fact they changed that script and it's just Oba beat Brock. Brock looks and just goes, well, I'm done. You go, wait, what?
He found the guy who he can't beat.
Mm-hmm.
What's left to do then? Because he's beating everybody else. Up next, the six-pack ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Penta, Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio. Penta, intro, sponsored by Mortal Kombat.
God, people are going to lose their... People probably lost their shit over that. The second I saw the mask, I knew it was Shao Kahn. I put it in our chat. I was like, it's Shao Kahn. And then if you look on the boards behind him, you saw the MK2 logo. And I have absolutely no problem with that. Especially if Penta, who I believe, is probably a gamer.
You know how many times they've had WrestleMania entrances sponsored?
Yeah. Or, you know, like, Rey Mysterio comes out with his entrance like the Joker or Captain America or any number of superhero who he's done in the past. Cool.
Every time.
I'm fine with that.
Every time the New Day came out, this gear is in, looks like this from this
Dragon
movie.
Ball Z. This is...
They plugged it along the way.
Yeah, it's all of that. I had no problem with them doing that. And honestly, it was really cool. The thing I saw that people bitched about, oh my god, I can't believe they cut out the entrances of three people in order to run commercials. Really? You're going to tell me you wanted to see the nothing entrance of JD McDonough?
Newsflash, it was on cable television. There's commercials.
Boy, howdy. Rusev's entrance is something to write home about. Unless he came out in a tank. The whole thing was, they put the people in there that, no offense, were not going to have a shot winning. The entrances you do want to see, Rey Mysterio. Why? Because he's a legend, because he's probably going to have cool gear, and because if people haven't seen it before, he launches his ass out of the little shooter.
Brought that back.
So if you're watching ESPN and you watch a dude pop out from the floor, yeah, you're going to want to see that. Do you want to see JD McDonagh walk down that long ramp to the ring? No.
No, I was happy not to.
So Brent, who's that guy jumping out the sky? Is it R-E-Y? Mysterio?
I hate you, Rock.
And Javon Evans got the spotlight intro as well, because, well, he's the young upstart that they're pushing heavily at this point. Yeah, he's the young OG. This was a hell of a match.
These guys.
I don't know if it's just me or if you guys spotted it, but you had Dragon Lee, Ray, and Penta all primarily in red.
Yeah, like someone just said, "Hey, maybe not wear red."
Yeah, at one point they very briefly replicated the three Spider-Man meme.
All the luchadors. Go figure. But we got some really good spots out of this match, and it flowed really well out of all of them. JD McDonagh is a champ.
Yes.
I think going into this match, I told Rock, I thought I knew who the bump monkey in this match was going to be, and boy, was I right.
Ray climbed the ladder more than I thought he would.
Kudos to Rusev for taking the West Coast pop through the ladder.
Not only that, he took the OG cutter off the ladder.
Yep, you know, like I said, these boys came to work tonight. There were some really good spot. You know, young OG got to get bouncy like he likes to talk about. We had the Mexican destroyer a couple of times in this match.
Yeah.
Once on the ladder, at which point I look at JD and I'm like, okay, after that spot, dude, you made your money. Go to the back. Like, you took that on the ladder. It did not give. You are good, son. But they did do a good spot of, like, Javon Evans getting to the title. And you thought for a split second, are they going to put it on the young kid? Until Rusev took the ladder out from under him.
Yeah. For a moment, you thought it was going to happen, but it was not to be. Penta retained in this one. This was a great showcase.
I'm with that. It was a good second match to have on ESPN, especially because it has a lot of high spots. It has a lot of interest for the casual fan to look at and go, what is this? Do I want to switch over to the app to watch the rest of the show? But I didn't have my stopwatch for it. I'm sorry.
15 minutes, 10 seconds. Just so people are aware.
apparently, I didn't know I need to bring a stopwatch when I watch wrestling.
You gotta bring a stopwatch, apparently. You gotta count those. Every second counts.
I saw people online debating when the clock starts. That's when I knew... It's fucking ridiculous. The fact that they can't even decide when to start counting and that there was debates back and forth about things.
Get a life.
Go out, touch grass. Please.
Up next, the United States Championship is online. Sami Zayn, everyone's least favorite these days, taking on Trick Williams, who had the longest train you could ever see.
Dude, brides.
That thing was ridiculous.
I know there are brides somewhere that would kill for that train.
Yeah.
It took like 12 stagehands to pick that up afterwards.
You saw him get caught up a few times with
it. Well, the funny thing is you saw the camera from the back end, and there are people who had the ramp seats that are like reaching out and touching it. And you could tell he's turning around like, what the fuck?
I saw a picture of the entire thing spread out. It is from top to bottom with the ramp. It was quite impressive.
But, I mean, again, they want to make young stars, and if you're going to do that, you give them a memorable thing about the entrance. And for Trick, that's having a train that lasts the entire length of the ramp.
Yeah.
Put it over the top, and you're never going to forget it.
It was quite impressive. Sammy ate up the booze. Sammy worked hard for Trick.
Sammy did subtle things here to like enforce the booze. Like we saw a little bit of it when he fought Carmelo, when the ref is checking on Melo and he's taking that opportunity to get a little shot in or like milk the crowd for that response. It's a really kind of small thing, but it works so well, and it's nice to see the fact that like he understands that. just the little things to help you out.
Yeah.
It's not Pat McAfee flipping off the fans. That's it. That's easy. But it's also, he's not going for the full heel turn right now. He's letting it build until he finally snaps.
Which is good.
And goes full. Yeah.
And tricks over. Fans like him. They like screaming, whoop that trick. He still has a little ways to go in the ring, but keep it short, keep it impactful. He's good.
The funny thing is, I was thinking back, remember where he started being like the lackey slash mouthpiece for Carmelo Hayes in NXT.
Yep.
And it was one of those where you look at that and you just think, like, is he really a performer? You know, is he just there for mic skills? And he slowly started to build in the ring. And then he had, like, that Iron Survivor match that he won that kind of elevated him to the main event picture in NXT. He's had the NXT Championship and TNA Championship runs. And it was one of those, you know, when he got called up to the main roster, again, it was that, like, is this a little too soon? Apparently not. Apparently it hit the right time because the fans are all for it. So,
and the marketing machine is right behind him right now.
Well, and he's one of those people, when I was talking to a coworker about this, this was during the whole, like, oh, ESPN is doing way too much coverage for WWE. Trick Williams is a perfect person to have out there, because if you're going to put him on ESPN, hey, guess what, Rock? Tell us about your time when you were trying to make the Philadelphia Eagles. And he can talk about that and segue into WWE stuff.
Like, this is how he's been a regular guest on First Take, promoting the premium live events for the last couple months. Mm-hmm. He came, was it South Carolina, had a big win in the tournament?
Yes.
He was on TV the day before or earlier, that it, whatever it was. He predicted it, and they brought it back up in his history of being on the show. Where it's like, he called it.
But, like, the WWE marketing machine has gotten really good at placing people in spots to really kind of get them exposure and kind of build out that casual fan base. Trick is one of them on ESPN. You know who another great person that they've had doing sports but bringing, you know, casual fans over? Seth Rollins, when he was hurt.
Yeah, he's all over it.
He was on NFL Network. He had people... You know, he had the co-hosts doing the mask gimmick, where they were pulling off the mask, you know, the ski mask kind of thing. That's great exposure. And it's, again, people who may not watch wrestling, or if you do, you're like, oh, this is really cool to see. And if not, you now go, wait, what's going on? I kind of want to, you know, see how this relates. Maybe I'll tune in and see what they're talking about.
Dom's been out there doing great publicity for them. Like, they got people who could cross over and talk multiple things. It's working for them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for Oba Femme to get on those shows, because they were talking him up all week.
Oh, he's like, got a personality too.
Yeah, because every time they had someone on First Take, it's like, you gotta see Oba Femme. You gotta see Oba Femme. They're already sprinkling it in there.
The best thing about him is he can be... He's not as charismatic as, like, Big E, but he's one of those people, like, when Big E comes out on, you know, like, the NFL morning show, or I'm sorry, the NCAA morning shows, and you saw him, you were like, holy shit. And then he was just charismatic as hell, and you were kind of like, okay, I kind of like this guy. I think Oba can draw people in because he does have a kind of presence about him. He might not be as goofy as Big E, and that's fine, but he can still command a room, and that's going to be really cool to see.
So on the post show, right, Roman's on there, and they're chanting a name at him. What, Oba?
I was going to say, I saw him turn for a second and look to the crowd like, what?
They're chanting Oba right in his face. So, you know, they're planting seeds.
Fans, they're already going for it.
Good. Don't give it to us outright. Let it build and make it that dream match that you want to see, that you're willing to pay money to see.
Oba's gonna kill you. Oba's gonna kill you.
Roman just looked straight at the camera and went, Oba? Oh, man, this is...
Oba had a big night.
Ooh. Anyway, Trick Williams is still the new United States champion.
Actually, if you build a Roman-Oba match, just imagine the way that the line will drop of, like, all those times you faced Brock, you couldn't finish him. I did. And just watch the look on Roman's face go, you mother...
you mother trucker.
Right, you had matches with him for years. You couldn't do it. I did it in one night.
Up next on this show, the Demon Return against Dirty Dominic Mysterio in a street fight.
Entrance of the night.
Which one? Both were good.
Well, Demon, of course.
I liked the King of the Luchadors coming out with his court.
That was yeah, impressive.
And I like the fact that they sold it from the pre-show of Dominic saying, "I didn't agree to fight the Demon. The contract says Finn Balor. That's who I'm supposed to face. I'm not in a wrestling match with Finn Balor." And Adam Pearce just goes, "You know what? You're right. You're not in a wrestling match. You're in a street fight. Have a good day." And just walked away, and you just saw Dom's life flash before his eyes. So good. But yes.
So Roman typing himself up, and then he mentioned TKO. Straight booze.
What are they saying?
Fuck TKO. Fuck TKO. They're quickly getting out of that one.
It's nice to see the aura of the Demon back.
Yes.
That was the biggest part of this match, was reestablishing the Demon as a spectacle and something that is important. Because I think we lost that the last two times he was out.
Mm-hmm.
There was that one time with Roman Reigns where somehow the top rope broke and gimmick broke. It
would have worked if there was a Danhausen then, but there was no Danhausen then.
Or if they explained it. There was no reason behind it. The top rope just went out, and then it was like 1, 2, 3, that's over, and you're just like, wait, what happened? Was he cursed? You know, are the demons telling Finn that he's not ready for Roman? What was the deal there? And then him fighting Edge was a thing.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see the Demon reassert himself, and those moments where, like, even Dom would get, like, two counts, but the Demon would do his version of a sit-up, and Dom sold that perfectly of just like, oh, shit. Like, I can't keep this thing down.
Dom was the best counter to the Demon that you could ask for. He plays his role well. And him, before the match, like, I signed for a match with Finn Balor, not the Demon. after the show, I wanted Finn Balor, not the Demon. So, you get a rematch. And you'll do Finn and Dom maybe as early as tomorrow night on Raw or a Backlash. Yeah. But yeah, this was a perfect reintroduction.
Save the rematch for Backlash.
You could. But again, they like to do Raw after Mania as a big thing, so who knows? But this was a great reintroduction of the Demon. We can wait for a while to see it again. It was a great reintroduction.
Yeah, we have face Balor doesn't mean we need it more often. It's just let it be those moments where, like, Dom fucked up and needs to face his inner demons incarnate.
So it was a good street fight. We had the women's championship on the line. Rhea Ripley challenging Jade Cargill.
Rhea, your look for tonight, 10 out of 10, no notes. I like the fact they went white.
I love the explanation for it. Escaping the insane asylum because Jade was driving her crazy. Or driving her insane.
It's a good reason for it. And also, again, it subverts Rhea's usual style of being all black and kind of, you know, pseudo-goth mommy. Totally fine.
It had a little bit of kabuki to it.
It did. But again, it's one of those things of, like, this felt like Mania. It's one of those, like, yeah, you're going to pull out the special look for this. And the two had a good match.
Yeah. Pretty good match. You had interference from Meechan and B-Fab, and then I think Jade was yelling for a while, get her, and then finally Io's music hit.
Poor Io had to run the length of the ramp.
She did, and started doing moves and had to make sure her top didn't fall off.
Yeah, she almost had a real bad accident there.
Couple times, it looked like. Times.
Yeah, she hit that move. Well, the first one was right after she hit that first upward palm strike. You saw her, like, grab and was like, wait, oh god.
Hold on a second, let's readjust.
Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things of people were complaining that Io wasn't on the show. And when she wasn't going to be in a match with Asuka, my first thought is, she's going to be there for Rhea. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of They planted her into that storyline as a backup, as coverage for Rhea, because Jade had her baddies. And so when the match wasn't going to happen, I was like, okay, here it comes. And when I saw the two pop out, I was like, yep, here it is.
And it was a good spot for her to be in. She was the backup she needed, and yeah.
Yeah, LeMans brought up a good point that when Rhea went first for the Riptide, and then Jade changes it into going for the Jaded, and then Rhea slips out of that and hits the Riptide legit. It was really nice flow between those moves.
But in the end, Rhea Ripley, new WWE Women's Champion, so she'll be officially moving to SmackDown as its champion.
Enjoy your new home. Wait, does that mean that she's reunited with Damian Priest now?
Well, she has been for a few weeks now, yeah.
Yeah, but I meant, like, officially. She's now over there fully. Yeah,
with both of her Judgment Day buddies, Damian Priest and R-Truth.
Yeah, we can't forget R-Truth in the lore of Judgment Day.
I mean, they all have gold now.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than the Judgment Day has combined for them. They've only got the one belt. Well, technically two because of the Triple A.
True, yeah, two belt.
Beginning of a new faction on SmackDown.
And then we learn tonight's attendance record of 55,000 and something people with the host John Cena. But someone wanted the WrestleMania moment, being The Miz and Kit Wilson.
Hey, we got back to WrestleMania 27!
And then someone else wanted their moment. Danhausen.
Very nice. Very evil.
He comes out
okay. Lindsay sums it up perfect. This segment was absolutely stupid. I loved it.
It was perfect.
Yep.
It was perfect comic relief that they needed. So he comes out with a bunch of midgets. Yes, they wanted to be called midgets. Michael Cole made it clear that it was okay for them to use the term midget. So it's okay for us to use the term midget because they wanted to be called midgets. Ruining
his coffin
bit.
Car is amazing.
Yeah, but it's like that.
I love
the
that
bit.
Thing.
The car was great, but no, it's like ruining the bit. Bit Michael Cole talking. Like, yeah, they wanted to be known as midgets. Like, okay, Cole, we got it. You knew the surprise. Got it.
That car was just like a total callback to the Munsters.
So Danhausen and Cena had their moment. They introduced themselves. That was great. We got to see the Danhausen five-knuckle shuffle. A bunch of people punched in the nuts. And then the most awkward ending of a segment we will ever see.
It's so great, though, because it's absolutely in line with Danhausen.
Yeah.
His smoke bomb, and then just awkwardly getting out of the ring and climbing under the ring through the apron.
Because someone forgot to hit the lights.
I love that you just had Wade Barrett say what everyone was thinking. Like, Jesus, this, like, I think he said, like, you're not fooling anyone as he's climbing under the ring.
I don't know, but it worked. Whether it was on purpose or an accident, it worked.
I think it's legit. I think it's honestly, like, we're going to make this as awkward as possible.
And then
because it just fits Danhausen.
And then Cena's line after.
Just,
I'm enjoying retired life. I mean,
I like that he just breaks out in legit laughter, like, dear God. Well, this is it.
That will be a WWE clip for years to come.
This spot works for Danhausen, for Joe Hendry right now. You've got a couple of people where it's like, if you need to fill a little bit of time and you want to do something goofy, run with it. Have fun.
Yeah, it worked. Then your main event, World Heavyweight title.
Boy.
Roman Reigns and CM Punk.
For all the people who bitched last night that it didn't feel like a WrestleMania main event,
this one makes up for it.
From the onset, this felt like a Mania match / main event.
We all knew it too.
This match was just absolutely off the hook incredible.
CM Punk was a cocky little shit all night.
They did the one thing I wanted them to for this.
Yeah.
They broke out AFI.
Oh.
For his walk to the entranceway, they brought out the Ring of Honor theme, and it fits so well, showing the clips of him kind of getting to that point. And then you had the singer and the drummer and the pianist for Roman's entrance. again, making it feel grand.
And the images of his family popping up on the big screens in the background.
Mm-hmm. And then they let the match just come to them. Like Rock said, Punk got to be a sassy, sassy son of a bitch in this match.
Yeah, they both were. They both talked to one another. They both did everything to get under each other's skin. And then there's a lot of physicality. A lot of each other trying to outdo one another throughout the match. Oh, you put me through a table, I'm going to put you through a table too. You spear me, I'll spear you.
I was going to say, you had the old school move stealing. Punk brought out the Superman punch and the spear. Roman was going for the GTS and threw out the taunt.
Oh, and Roman tying Punk up in the trio woe. And then
on the outside.
On the outside, three Superman punches. After a little bit of referee discretion.
God damn it.
It worked, though. They told the story.
It worked. I still have issue with it, but it worked.
When you don't overdo it, it works.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. The stairs that had the referee discretion.
Because, and also, the one funny thing was, like, as soon as he hit it, you knew that was going to be the comment on the internet, so Cole just immediately jumped in. Referee's giving leeway here.
And they were talking about it the entire time.
You don't want to end the match like this.
They were hyping up that the referee has to give leeway for like five straight minutes when they were fighting on the outside. It's like, he has to. Mm-hmm. So they were building to something happening. And it's like, okay, gloves are off now. And Punk got the bleed, so he was happy.
Well, Punk got color tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you save it for a WrestleMania main event, it works. You kind of get the leeway. If it's a random Raw...
And tonight worked absolutely great.
Yeah. If it's a random Raw, or if it's in, like, within the first 2 minutes of, like, a women's championship match, that's not groundbreaking. That's just, you're putting it in places that it probably shouldn't, without storyline reason.
And the story of this match towards the end was, Punk was spent. He hit his move, but he couldn't hit it again.
The legit thing that you can say from this is Punk gave absolutely everything he had in this match, because he did. His body was just not willing for that second GTS.
He had him on the shoulders, and he couldn't pull the trigger. His body wouldn't let him.
Mm-mm. I do say, I liked the one spot where Punk took the tape off of his wrist.
Yeah, and then for the low blow. Yeah.
And threw it at Roman for the distraction, because the referee goes and picks it up and you're kind of like, wait, what's going on? And as soon as the referee starts to walk away, you go, oh, and yeah, just boom, hits that low blow. And again, it's one of those things the announcers just threw in there at the right moment of Punk's doing everything he can to keep that title. And it's like, yeah, he's going to be an opportunist.
It was subtle and it worked.
It wasn't full blown heel. It was just Punk being Punk.
Yep, but when the night ended, Roman Reigns does the big spear, puts down CM Punk, and is your new World Heavyweight Champion. And to answer the question that is looming, he addressed it. He's here all summer.
But Rock,
the question being, of course,
what, Tim?
Go ahead.
No, go.
I was just going to say the question, of course, being, does this mean we're only going to see the title four times this year?
Because LeMans came in to chat right away and said, we're going to see the match. We can't wait to see the belt three times for the year.
Did you say three times, LeMans?
He did. He did at the start of the stream. He said three times. And it's like...
He said three times.
He's here all summer, so...
I was going to say, he's got the build to SummerSlam coming up.
He'll work, you know, Clash, it
might
in
not,
Italy.
Might not
he'll...
be on Backlash, although who knows? With Cody Rhodes, it might be.
If he's not on Backlash, that's okay, because there's Backlash, Saturday Night's Main Event, and Clash in Italy all in May. He can miss one.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason of, like, him dipping out was playing into that heel character. The, like, I'm only going to show up when I have to. I think Roman doing the face role, as we've seen, like, he's been around more. He understands, like, okay, for this, I need to be on there a little more. And especially if he's going to be on Netflix, I think Netflix is going to be like, we want you around a bit more if we're paying money for this.
Is it hard to keep them? I mean, they could run together, but, like, I think I would save it for, like, moments. like they're half united, but not like we're gonna stand behind him type things. Where it's like if we need, like, hey, run a six man with Usos and Roman on a Raw or pay per view, sure.
Yeah, we're family, but we're not full faction anymore.
Which they don't need to be right now.
No, because in doing that, I feel like it devalues the Usos again.
And it runs the course for, like, we've seen it all.
Yeah.
We've seen that story.
Even if it's like, okay, we get the face version, we've seen the movie.
We have. So, yeah, that was WrestleMania.
Night one, night two, not bad.
Not bad at all. And when you look at the entire picture, it's a pretty solid WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, if you look at it
overall, it was a good one.
You had a lot of Mania moments throughout both nights that when you look back 5 years from now, be like, hey, a lot of stuff happened on that show, and you won't be talking about ads.
Yeah, we've had run-ins, we've had returns, we've had, you know, people we haven't seen for a while.
Hi, Casey.
Hello.
We're gearing up to wrap up the show. We'll get your overall thoughts on two nights of WrestleMania.
Perfect. I'm glad I could make a last minute run in. Overall, I mean, the wrestling itself, I enjoyed. I did come in around the time people, you know, there was a mention of like ad time versus wrestling time. I found that a little bit disappointing. Some matches were really awesome. We had some surprise returns. We had some surprise, I wouldn't necessarily say outcomes, but things that happened after some matches that left us wondering, you know, Brock Lesnar and the like. But I mean, I'll put this one, I would say, somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle will probably end up being a good place for it. So, real quick, best match you've seen all weekend from WrestleMania?
I mean, that ladder match was awesome. That one kind of sticks out the most, probably just because of just, you know, the sheer car crash of it. Yeah, I mean, Balor versus Dom was really well put together. I liked, you know, the Return of the Demon was good. I did like the Nia Jax and Lash Legend doing a little bit of a demolition tribute. That was kind of a cool thing. Props to Eyeshow Speed for, you know, playing his part in that match. But yeah, I don't know. Just a couple of highlights here and there, things off the top of my head. Congrats to Bianca Belair and Montez Ford for the incoming little baby.
I think it's a C plus.
A C plus. That's what someone rated that segment, a C plus last night.
And stupid. Said essentially an observation was they were disappointed Montez wasn't there for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little interesting, but I mean, I'm sure he was in the back.
Yes.
He was absolutely in the back with Angelo Dawkins, if you saw the photo.
Yeah, and like CM Punk Reigns was a very, like, it was a well put together match too. You know, for a couple of guys that you would think of like kind of exhausted their time at that spot, I thought they did a really good job with the match. Cody and Orton, the match itself was okay. They were a little bit limited with the story that they had to tell. But I mean, it left us with something a little more that they could do to maybe further develop it if they want to do a rematch. And it's always fun to see a punt come back.
Yeah, WrestleMania was pretty solid overall when you put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I turned to Brent. How do we do?
Oh, got housekeeping.
How do we do?
All right, we've got 13 participants for WrestleMania 42 Pick'em. In 13th place, going 4-9, is the Wheel.
Didn't have a good night or nights.
No, it really didn't. In 12th place, going 5-8, was WWE 2K26. I will say it did have the right answer for Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar, but not the right way of the finish.
Couple of them that were countouts, not
It was a countout finish for Oba on the video game, and we all agreed if that happened on night one of or night two of WrestleMania, people would have lost their goddamn mind.
Yep.
Tied for eighth place, over 500, going 7-6. We have our returning Keishi Matsunaga.
Hell yeah, over 50%.
We have the one and only Tim Stein. We have the host of The Rack on Thursday nights here, Lindsay Ward, our AEW expert. And we had Sarah.
Nice.
So, 7-6. Tied for fifth place, going 8-5. We had the 8-Ball. We had Rob. And we had one Sir Rockin'.
Nice.
Tied for second place at 10-3. Myself, Sheila, and Subway. Which means our top picker, all alone in first place at 11-2, was Tommy C.
Nice. Very nice. Yes, Tim, you went 7-6.
Yeah, I was away from the computer for a second. I just had to run to the kitchen real fast.
I can tell you who all you lost.
Yeah, tell me the matches I got wrong, even though I think I know which ones I got wrong.
Bailey and Lyra, AJ Lee.
Yep.
You had Stephanie Vaquer. I was the only one on this panel to pick Liv Morgan. We all picked Randy. We all got that wrong. And then you had Jade Cargill and CM Punk winning.
So there's a couple I missed,
Those are your six wrong.
And here's the kicker. The six out of the six wrong, I think four of them I went against my gut when I picked them.
I mean, to be fair, only two people picked the correct winner in the four-way women's tag match. It was the 8-Ball and Rob Parks who had the Bellas.
Yeah, once Paige came out, it was kind of one of those things where like, oh, well, that kind of throws a wrench into things.
Once the rumors hit on Saturday.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, wait, this is happening. I think the late pick was probably, oh, wait, we probably need to adjust this, but it was too late.
Just a little bit. With that, we'll do it for Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back live tomorrow night, Raw After Mania. We'll talk about it.
The new season!
The new season kicks off tomorrow night. When Raw ends to talk all about it. We'll talk about the night 2 of WrestleMania this Thursday on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. You'll be able to check out our night 1 review wherever you get your podcast. Just search The Rack Radio Show. And it means Saturday night CB Radio is back 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. See our Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. That WTR Sunday night. Tim.
Yeah, follow me at Flames Forums on the social medias because I hang out there and I post like on a regular daily basis.
There you go. Keishi has social media he doesn't use, but you could follow him at places.
Yeah, you can follow me on socials at Kyle Driver. Every once in a blue moon, you might see me post something, but don't count on it.
Right.
Yeah, you can follow me on a variety of social media. X/ Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. You can also find me making friends on at least that first platform at times. And you can check me out on Saturday night's CB Radio doing the Intern's Corner. Yay!
Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gamers, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just press Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to support channel for free. You can use creator code ROCK to get the Fortnite items up when you buy Stone Cold Steve Austin and your new Women's World Champion, Liv Morgan. Hashtag Epic Partner. Tim, send us home.
Well, that's it, everybody. Hope you liked WrestleMania. My God, was that 42?
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. Hope you enjoyed our review of it. And that being said, go do your homework. Go brush your teeth. Go clean your room or whatever. You don't have to go to bed right now, but you can't stay here.
BLTalkRadio.com.